The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly, and who was ill and close to death. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and to heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "The centurion is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far away from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a person set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at the centurion, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, this weekend, we are not only celebrating the unofficial beginning of summer, but we are also making the important and celebrating the important holiday of Memorial Day, a day in which we remember all of those who have died in service to our country, and a day that is personal for me when I remember the stories of my grandfather who fought in three wars and him talking about those who never returned home. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I came across one of those annoying online advertisements in my browser that like popped up in front of me. And it was from some foundation that wanted a donation of some kind. But the advertisement said this: "We will never forget the sacrifice of those preserving freedom and making our country the best in the world. For freedom is not free. Happy Memorial Day." This advertisement didn't quite sit well with me for some reason. It got me thinking, you know, a lot about days like Memorial Day. We see a lot of the word freedom that's tossed around on days such as this. And I sometimes have a hard time figuring out, well, what does freedom mean? What is freedom in our context of faith? Is freedom something that is not free, as the advertisement suggests, or is it something different completely? Many Christian theologians talk about freedom in various ways, and our own Martin Luther of the Lutheran Church addressed this topic many times in the context of the Reformation. One famous Luther quote, where he highlights what freedom means for a Christian, he says in his very typical paradoxical way, he says, "A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all and subject to none. But a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all." Through the promises of Jesus Christ, we are free and subject to none, yet we are also servant and subject to all. What does that mean? Doesn't make any sense. Well, perhaps a good example of what freedom, I think, means in this context, and what Luther is talking about, could be in the story of the centurion and Jesus in our gospel today. Here is a man who seemed to have complete freedom, As a Roman officer, he was in charge of a group or a battalion of soldiers with orders from the occupying power to keep the peace. Or in other words, he was the eyes and ears of the Roman Empire and had the freedom to do whatever he needed to do in order to keep a rebellion in the village from happening. He was what we would view today, very commonly seen as the enemy, keeping a tight grip on the movement and freedom, ironically, of locals in Capernaum. And it was common, we know from first century documents of the Roman Empire, it was common for actually officers to form relationships with the higher-ups of communities and Jewish locals, to do favors in order to win in strategic ways to keep power over them. Thus, building a synagogue for the village could be seen just as one more pragmatic strategy than anything else. And so, because of this, and because of this context, we should kind of be a little suspicious in reading this text. Let's remember the context and the history of the Roman occupying power, because it was definitely on the mind of the writer of the Gospel of Luke. But there are a couple of things that stick out to me in how this centurion lives out freedom. And the first one is how he regarded his slave. In verse 2, if you read it, our translation says the centurion, quote, valued his slave highly. And this is a common Greek word that's used. And another translation of this word could be read as to hold in honor, or for one to hold in a state of intense personal respect. Some biblical scholars that I've read kind of treat this story as a centurion wanting, similar to somebody wanting their car fixed. A very unemotional type of, well, let's get this slave going again so that work can happen. But healing here means, I think, something different. And I'm going to choose to read this Greek text in a different way. I think this story is showing how the centurion is deeply grieved for this slave, and is using his freedom to put the slave above himself, radically calling out to Jesus, of all people, a Pharisee, an outcast himself, for help. And interestingly enough, if you're a Bible geek like me, you'll love the fact that Jesus gave his famous Sermon on the Mount, or as the Gospel of Luke calls it, the Sermon on the Plain, right before this story. Only 3 verses before this story, Jesus says this in the conclusion of his Sermon on the Plain. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And then we get this story that we have today. So is it the case that this centurion, an officer of an occupying empire who has probably killed and jailed many more Jews resisting in the streets, who serves an empire that rules by fear, is it the case that this is the one who is teaching us the abundance of the heart? Is it the case that this centurion is the one who is teaching us what real freedom means? Freedom, then, I think, is shown in this text not only from the centurion putting his slave above himself, but it's also seen and lived out in how he becomes a new way of seeing God at work in the world. God's freedom in Christ is not only putting somebody else above ourselves, but seeing God at work in ways that we don't expect, even in crazy foreign officers like centurions. For it's not the Jews, it's not the disciples, not anyone else who is living out this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus says, but it's the centurion. I tell you, Jesus says, not even in Israel have I found such faith. So freedom, freedom to put others before yourself and freedom to see God in new ways. This, I think, is approaching the kind of freedom that our faith in Jesus Christ speaks to. But here is the other important thing that I think we tend to miss, especially in our hyper-individualized culture. It's only in community where this freedom can be truly lived out. Naomi Klein, an environmental writer for the New York Times, writes and tells a story of a group of women farmers who grew rice in the south of India. And a power company fast-tracked a proposal to build a coal-fired power plant in their local community through the national government, which would create huge pollution problems and huge challenges for the local food system and communities' livelihoods. And so these women, as Klein says, formed a coalition of the community. They formed a coalition of doctors and of lawyers and of teachers and of regular citizens like you and me. And they went and they resisted the local government's voting on this proposal and even staged protests on the property. And they defeated this multi-million dollar proposal. Not, as Klein writes, because of the noise that these women drew up, but because they had effectively formed deep relationships within the community who stood up for and with them. So my question is, would the centurion have been able to live this freedom out had he not built a prophetic relationship in the community first? For the Jewish people say he is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people. The Gospel of John, we just concluded the course, our final installment of the Gospel of John earlier today. And the Gospel of John uses a couple of names for the Holy Spirit, one of which is an advocate. The Holy Spirit serves as an advocate. Well, in a lot of ways, I think we can see this in the centurion. The Holy Spirit as the advocate is lived out in the centurion towards his slave. And the community then becomes the advocate for the centurion. If freedom means freedom for the other, like I think this gospel text is saying, and seeing Jesus in new ways, my question is, what ways is our church called to be an advocate of freedom? I've mentioned our community mapping effort several times, and you'll probably get sick of me saying it, but I'll mention it another time, where a dedicated group of people in our church went out and did almost 30 interviews in Bonner, Milltown, Clinton, and Tura. And this has produced a lot of information that has begun to be noticed. And we are going to have throughout the summer discernment groups to figure out what does this information mean for us in our church. But our church's action, in fact, I was just talking with somebody this last week, has spurred on conversation by people in the Bonner Community Council, the Bonner Development Group, and even the superintendent of the Bonner School, for them to come together and to start recrafting a community smart growth plan, a plan that really values and shows how this community can be together in development, in spurning on different people and housing projects. And this community plan would not have started to be talked about had it not been for our effort in this community. This work that our church is doing is being noticed. It means then our advocating a freedom in a way. A freedom that's not based on individuals, but based on community. This freedom that is advocated by Christ, as our story says today, need not be preserved, I think, like Memorial Day advertisement suggests that I saw earlier, but advocated. Freedom needs to be advocated. Freedom in Christ, then, is not based on sacrifice and defending, but on sharing and living out that faith. And so, happy Memorial Day to all of you. And may you remember those who have served our country well. But may you also be reminded and think deeper about what freedom really means. Freedom to live out and to see ourselves and Jesus Christ in new and amazing ways. Blessed be that freedom. Amen.